testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, and the honeycomb. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. And in keeping of them there is great reward.
In the word tonight, and also to share with you what I believe the Lord is revealing and impressing to me with regard to the times we are living in. And I'm going to call our teaching today, Times Are Going to Get More Difficult. Times are going to get more difficult. I truly do believe that we are beginning to see the beast system merging and coming forward. And I think we're all beginning to see, because Jesus tells us in Matthew 24, to discern, to look at the seasons, the times. He refers to it spiritually, to weather. So we are to exercise this, and above all to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. But I do believe that this virus, this plague, that is indeed plaguing the world, is setting in motion the powers of darkness. And we're seeing even a further falling away. There is such confusion now on planet Earth, you can cut it with a knife. Governments are at variance. They don't know really who to believe. They have these health advisors, and it just goes on, and they're all advising and all giving their wise wisdom and counsel and so on. And we have many, many, many false prophets of doom, all predicting the outcome and what they think can or will happen with regard to this pandemic. And this is why I'm calling this teaching today, Times Are Going to Get More Difficult. Indeed, they already are. And I think that there is a lot that government are not telling us, but they will slowly reveal things to us as times go on. But I think we're finding ourselves, and I'm certainly finding myself, as I'm praying and seeking the Lord, Lord, what is it we need to know? What is it we need to discern? Please show us. Give us this guidance, this discernment. We believe very much that we are the end generation, the end times, and how important it is that we're able to discern this and to be able to have answers to this as the Spirit leads, and that it can prepare us. When any great major events happen, we always see not only does God warn, but he will preserve and protect the remnant. And the remnant will hear what the Spirit is saying in order to be preserved. The same as Noah started to hear God speak and that a flood was to come upon the whole world. And we know that he moved in faith and he started to build that ark as the Spirit of God revealed to him, even though very few, even his own family, didn't really believe. Yet he had heard from God. He had discerned the signs, the times. The destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. Again, Abraham intercedes, prays before God because his family, his nephew is there. And God in his mercy brings a remnant of them out before judgment falls. Nothing changes under the sun. And we are facing again a major change that is going to take place on planet Earth. And most are asleep. Most are going about their business, doing what they want and so on. We live in an age now where we experience all around us an absolute spiritual poverty. We may have all our technology and all our gadgets and gizmos and so on, and yet spiritually we are impoverished, confused. So what do we make of all these things as the Spirit reveals this to us? Are we listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying? Are we listening to the prophetic as the prophets are speaking? Because they are the ones who point. They're the ones who sound the trumpet. They're the ones who show what is coming on the horizon. And we know that in the book of Revelation, as it opens up with the seven churches, each of it, God says, let he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. When God reveals what is coming on the earth, and when he reveals that judgment is coming, he will always not only warn, but he will provide. We see this in the Bible. And one of the stories that comes to me very strongly as I've been preparing this and God has been giving me this over the last several months is the story of Joseph, where he is united back to his family. And we know how God used Joseph and warned Pharaoh that a famine was coming in the land, and there would be 7 good years and 7 lean years, and that he was to build all the warehouses, and they were to store up all the food, the wheat, the corn, and so on, so that there would be enough when the lean years come. And we also know that through the uniting of Joseph back to his father, how the Lord speaks to him, and that he's to go down to Egypt, because it's in Egypt that God is going to preserve the remnant. And of course he's introduced to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh gives him the best land in Egypt, and there they're preserved and kept. Why Egypt of all places? The very place where God brought the children of Israel out of bondage. Why is God taking Israel, in a sense, back to that place? Because at times God uses Egypt, Babylon, in which to deliver us. I'm reminded of what it says in Romans 8, that all things work together for good to them that love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. God uses the world, he uses the things of the world, in which, if necessary, to preserve a remnant, his people. And I see no difference in these days that we live. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is going to preserve us and keep us. And I believe he will keep us whole in mind, body, and spirit. But we have to trust God, we have to obey him, we have to do it his way. And we also have to move together in unity and oneness, in prayer and intercession for these things to happen. As I said at the beginning, because I believe this is ushering in now the beast system, and it's merging forward, it's rising up. And I believe the Lord has been saying for months, Corona, this plague, is judgment. More and more, this word judgment comes to me. And I've waited on the Lord for a number of months on this, because there is a time in which you share these things with the church. But I heard something very interesting today on the radio, where they are finding, and I'm sure a lot of you heard this already, that the immune system is not very strong against this COVID. In fact, it doesn't last for very long. And therefore, they're having to rethink about these vaccinations that they're trying to produce, in which to vaccinate the world. And one of the professors said today, well, maybe we'll have to try and develop a booster. And I thought, here we go. Here we go. Man is so blind, he thinks that all his technology, he thinks that all medical science and the knowledge that he has and everything, he can put this right. But they fail to see this is God's warning. This is God speaking. He is beginning to judge. And how many are discerning and understanding this? Why, I believe even in the house of God, few are understanding this. The enemy has so many paralyzed in fear and unbelief. But God will not have that of us, because when you're in that condition, you cannot discern. You cannot hear what the Spirit is saying. But I believe we are hearing what God is saying. And not only that, we're able to pray and intercede. And I've had this burden for months and months, praying and warring against these vaccinations, warring against all they're trying to do in trying to find a cure. It's just risen up in me. And the reason being is because God is trying to get man's attention, that you cannot live without him. Governments cannot rule without him. Well, the question is, of course, will they hear? Well, a remnant will hear. Praise God, you hear. I hear. So that is a sign the Spirit is working. So the question I raised this evening then is, what is our survival. Remember this title, times are going to get more difficult. And the warnings, the writing is absolutely clear. It isn't going to get any better. All of those who are saying peace, 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 then it will be sudden destruction. They're in denial. They don't want to see. They want to bury their heads in the sand, but we can't. We have to test. We have to discern. We have to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. So what is going to be our survival? Well, it doesn't take a lot of discernment. Our spiritual survival, I'm going to look at this in various degrees, but our spiritual survival is spiritual food. It's the Word of God, just like when Joseph and his family went down to Egypt, and there they were preserved and kept by all that was brought into the storehouse. That was natural food. But what is going to preserve us is that spiritual food. And that spiritual food is that vessel filled with oil that the wise virgins have for the last days. So that when the lights go on and when they hear that the bridegroom is coming, they have enough light, enough oil for him to come. Which speaks of God's presence. It speaks of God's protection. And this is what is going to protect us, brothers and sisters. This is why I have said for over 40 years now in my ministry that stay with the Word of God. Because our faith comes by hearing that Word. The Word of God is our spiritual food that sustains and keeps us. Particularly now, as judgment is coming, as the beast system now is merging forward. It's our protection, brothers and sisters. You see, the problem is that most Christians, when they do finally try to wake up, and the foolish virgins wake up, they're going to try to survive. But they're going to do it in the flesh. And there is the difference. They'll try to run away, or they'll try to immigrate somewhere else to another country, or they'll try and bring in all supplies into their house, enough food to last for a couple of years or whatever it is. I've heard of these stories going on already. But that is in the flesh. And it won't work. It's the Spirit that preserves. And the only way the Holy Spirit preserves us as we remain faithful to the Word of God. Sadly, most Christians don't really want the Word of God. They want the emotions. They want to feel a Christian. They want to feel spiritual. They want to feel God's presence. And there's the problem. Feelings don't save you. It is our faith, our belief in the Word of God that is saving us and delivering us. And that is the point. And our faith is a gift from God. So God is going to provide for that gift that he has given us through the new birth. He's going to provide for our spiritual growth. And our spiritual nourishment, else we won't survive. We'll fall under the beast, the system. All the while, of course, the Lord tarries, that is. Well, let's turn to John 21, verse 15. John 21 and verse 15. And here it speaks about the Lord, who's risen, how he restores Simon Peter. Remember that he betrayed him, he ran away. And here God restoring and bringing him back. And listen to what he's doing here. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Feed my lambs." And he said to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Tend to my sheep." And he said to him the third time, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Twice in restoring Peter back as an apostle, twice he says, "Feed my sheep." What does he mean by that? It simply means God's people have to be fed. They have to be fed with God's word, that anointed word to survive. You see, Jesus is challenging Peter. You see, Peter's already betrayed. He ran away from the Lord, but he's restoring him back because he has an important ministry. He's an apostle. And so he challenges him on his commitment, his love. But Peter has learnt that God knows all things. Whatever may be going on with us, whatever's going on in our mind, our trials or whatever it is, thank God that the Lord knows all things. He knows what goes on in us. But twice he says here, "Feed my sheep." And once he says, "Tend to my sheep." So it is that important that the Lord reminds him twice in which to feed his sheep. What does he mean by this? It's simple. To teach. They need the spiritual food. They need to be nourished. They need to be kept spiritually healthy and strong to be able to walk and overcome all the difficulties in this life. And that doesn't change for a teacher, a minister, a pastor. He has a revelation of this understanding if he's truly called of God, because he sees the importance in God's word to feed God's people so that they may survive, they may be kept alive in this land of famine. We live in a land, a world of famine. The famine is of hearing the word of God. Most don't hear, but you do. And you are mightily blessed. And God has opened our ears and hearts, not only, of course, to save us, but to preserve us in these last days that we are living in. Because they're going to get more difficult. We are going to see a further falling away. Violence will increase. Confusion, fear will increase. We will see more and more of a control coming. Controlling what you say, what you do, where you go. Watching you, observing you. We know all of this. We're being warned. It's going to happen and is happening. So we're looking at this then. What is our survival? And I've suggested to you the first thing is our spiritual food. Because faith comes by hearing this word to be able to stand in these last days, to believe. You see, our teaching, instructions, nourishment sustains us. There's quite a lot in scripture with regard to this. For example, in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. And then he goes on about rejecting those who don't really preach the word of God. It nourishes. It feeds us. Doctrine is important. So there I suggest that that is the first thing in these times now that we live in. Why the Lord tarries, we need to be sustained and kept alive by that spiritual manna that comes from above. You see, the scriptures warn us that we can be like Israel under Moses' ministry. For example, in 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 4. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So there we are. We know that Israel was really a church, but it was hid. It was a type of church, a type of assembly, a chosen nation, a people, but it was hid from the world. Whereas now the revelation of the church through the Apostle Paul now has been manifested and revealed. And it's that light that's set upon a rock, that lighthouse, so to speak. So there we are. They walked under the same cloud. They had the same spiritual food and drank the same drink. And that rock was Jesus Christ. It's the same principle for us today. That is why it's so important that you get under the banner of Jesus Christ, not under a doctrine, not under a denomination or a man or a religious leader. No, 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 no. Brought together by the Holy Spirit, baptized into the body of Christ, onto the rock of Jesus Christ. There's the same principle again. For what purpose? So that we can be preserved and kept in these last days. Praise God. You see, only a nourished faith will mature the overcomers. Why are we called overcomers? Because we overcome the difficulties of the world. We have to overcome God judging. If God doesn't preserve us, we will also fall under his judgment. And as God is judging the world, and he will judge the world, and I believe he's judging now through this plague, so he has to preserve us, and he will, if we follow him. And we remain faithful to his word, to that spiritual food that he's giving us. And I believe that through these judgments, God is going to give us the right spiritual diet in which we can stand and overcome and speak out to this dying world. But you have to be sustained for that. You have to be kept preserved. This is why we need to pray for the body of Christ. We need to pray for those in authority over us, in that sense, who have the oversight. Pray for the word. It is important we pray for Christ's body. It is a type of spiritual ark that's preserving and keeping us. as judgments coming on the earth. The same as the floods came and lifted the ark up and took the ark up towards heaven, so the church, the word, is preserving and keeping us, and as judgments falling, it's taking us up towards heaven. Toward whom? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to lift us above. Hallelujah. What does it say in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12? Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come need the milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he's a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So you mature, you grow up into sonship for the very purpose that you can exercise, you can discern good and evil. And those who can discern good and evil are the ones who are useful in prayer, intercession, and warfare. Most do not have a clue about spiritual warfare. And the reason why? Because they still want the milk of the word. They still want to be babes and treated as babes. But God won't do that with us. He wants maturity. He wants growth in order that we can discern both good and evil. To discern good and evil preserves us. It enables us to be able to discern, to test the spirits, to see the signs and the times, to warn when the enemy is coming, to hear when the trumpet sounds, to be those watchmen. That's what it means. And this comes as we're nourished and fed with the word of God. Something very interesting that I heard today, and that is that in Europe, and particularly in Belgium, they are very, very concerned at the high rates of COVID to the size and population. Out of all Europe, that is one of the worst areas. And I said, Lord, is that because the European Union is the capital in Brussels? Now, that may well be. Again, it is a warning. It is God speaking. It is God revealing that judgment is starting. And when judgment starts, that will always cause the powers of darkness, the very devil himself, to start to move and to act. When you trap an animal, it will react. It will try and escape. And what judgment does, it starts to corner the powers of darkness. It's God moving in. The same as the Lord has shown us that when we often get into spiritual warfare, it's like we're pushing back the powers of darkness. It's pushing it back. It's a binding, a fettering it. Because as the scriptures tell us, what is bound on earth is bound in heaven. What is loosened on earth is loosened in heaven. And so the scriptures show us it's a type of fettering. It's tying a knot around the hand of someone. And that's what our prayers do. It stops them from being able to move properly. It hinders their movement. And this is the idea of our prayers, our intercessions, as we push back the powers of darkness for this very purpose. And so it's the same when God starts to judge. When God starts judging, the enemy becomes cornered. He's pushed back. And what does any trapped animal do? It will react. It will try and fight back to escape. And that is what is happening spiritually. That is what's taking place in the heavens. And that is why we're facing and we will be coming to the tribulation and the great tribulation. Because as God starts judging, and certainly when the trumpets and the vials open up, they will be the supernatural judgments of God on the earth. Nobody wants to be around in that day. That will be supernatural. But praise God, the church, the overcomers will be caught away. They will be in the heavens with the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are moving toward all of this now. And each step forward, it will be God speaking and warning that judgment is coming. And that is why I believe that this plague, this COVID, is the Spirit of God speaking to the world, because judgment is coming on the earth. How many are hearing? That is the question. How many are taking note? Or they're asking questions, you hear it, but it doesn't occur to them that they need God in their lives. But the Lord will put the pressure on more and more and more. And we are going to see God's pressure starting to increase. That is why times are going to get more difficult. And for us, we need to be in that spiritual ark, preparing, getting the word of God, that manna, into our hearts, preparing for the future, for what God wants to do through his church, through the overcomers. This is a time to take heed and listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. This is not a time to relax or to put our feet up, spiritually speaking. This is a time to be awake, to be alert, and to listen to what God is saying to us as he's preparing us. We do not know how this COVID epidemic is going to go. It looks more and more that medical science does not have the answers to this. There is something about this that medical science is battling. And I believe we'll hear this more and more. They thought vaccinations would do it. And they'll probably try. Even if it's a placebo, they'll still probably try. But the fact is, they are finding something more about this than they ever thought. Because the immune system isn't what they thought it would be after catching it. They don't stay immune for very long. So the question I am raising as I close with this, what is God saying? How are we next to start praying and interceding, both individually and corporately? We need to be spiritually aware and understanding what the Spirit is saying. This is why I believe we will be able to speak out more and more as the Holy Spirit gives us the opportunity to speak to a remnant, to speak to those who want to hear, who want to listen. They're still out there. There is still a harvest to be reaped. This is why we pray for the laborers, for the harvest. You are also a laborer. Jesus said this, and I believe there's no time like it now in which to be ready to be used and to speak forth as the Spirit gives utterance. But times are going to get more difficult. But God will be faithful. He will preserve and keep us. He will provide through these times of difficulty. He will preserve and keep us from this plague, from this COVID virus. The same as he preserved and kept our sister Teresa and raised her up virtually from her deathbed. That reveals to me the power of God, how he'll preserve and keep his remnants. There's much praying. We need to keep coming and listening, taking in the word of God, seeking him, walking with him, obeying him, doing what he reveals and shows of us. And the Lord will be faithful. But I believe our main survival is that spiritual food. The same as Joseph, his family, they were preserved in those ancient times, that 7 years of famine. So we're in a type of famine today. God is preserving and keeping us with that wonderful manna from above.
I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Oh, neither slumber nor sleep. Shade on your right hand. The sun will not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. Oh, nor the moon by from all evil. He will keep your